This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp. Inner Hole
Uprising. We come around, everything shut down like... Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and who looks like Jadena, apparently.
Yeah, new development. And me, Rodeca, a fat black pansexual who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we are currently in the darkest timeline.
Damn, you hate to see it.
It is what it is. That's a fact. Let's laugh about it.
For the new year, we're switching things up. Many of you do not dig interview episodes as much as you dig group episodes. So for the top of the new year, we're hitting you with all group and all duo episodes. For new listeners, that means myself and my lovely rotating co-host will be talking about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we'll be hitting you with interviews with insightful folks. On today's episode, we're talking about why you don't need to stay hard for 4 hours, how antiquated ideas about sex and sexuality hurt the boys, the new Netflix film about a black cam girl in the early 90s, group sex, and shitting in yo pants, which is going to be my favorite part of the episode. It's one of my favorite topics, poop. Yeah, and hashtags.
Oh, man, it's just a memory. Anyway, If you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoleUprising so we can see it in the hashtag pod and so other people can see it.
If you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Some of the things we offer are keynote speeches, sex trivia, party hosting, pleasure workshops, consent workshops. We do it all, and we do it for fees. So come, and we'll come on stage using all of our vibrators.
Just a collective circle vibe. Yeah. That's what you're paying
feel
for.
Feel the vibes, man. That's the name of the event.
How do you do this so fast?
But
feel the vibes, man?
Oh, I don't know. I used to watch a lot of like quippy TV when I was in sixth grade, and I think it just made me quippy.
Clearly. It's in there.
I was like, I don't have a personality. Let me develop one, and here we are.
Let me watch it, and now this is me now.
I'm a fucking VH1 TV show. From 2006.
Oh, God. I can hear it.
But niggas like it. This bitch is quirky. No. Not really. I'm a fraud.
We all are. All right.
Our first segment is called Ho of the Week, and our hoes of the week this week are Kitty L., who said our Facebook effort is acknowledged.
Aww,
I was like,
thank you.
Not posting on Facebook, and I was like, okay. Fine, Mark Zuckerberg. I'll play into your fucking bullshit. And Kitty L was like, I'm glad you're back. So thank you, Kitty L, because your acknowledgement is appreciated. We have an Inner Hole Uprising newsletter now. And the newsletter is full of goodies and tidbits and fun that doesn't make it to the podcast. And sometimes we'll talk about things before they make it to the podcast. So you should definitely sign up for our newsletter. And within that newsletter, you will see our sex trivia question of the week. And the winner gets a shout out on the show. So last week we had a question and the winner was Amber R. And the answer was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yay!
But you cannot know the question unless you sign up for the newsletter. So now you're just like,
you're like,
Buffy?
What?
What are you talking about? Now on to self-care tip of the week.
Yeah.
What's going on?
My self-care tip is manage your expectations. That's something that I've been trying to work on because I realize that a lot of situations for me, I will go into obviously having expectations because that's just what we do as humans. But I find myself feeling very forlorn or just like really sad or like disappointed how things turn out afterwards because it didn't go the way that it should have in my head. And I don't realize how much I set myself up for being disappointed or being just like, oh, this sucks, you know, because of the fact that in my head I had already played this whole story. So like, for example, you go to work and you're like, it's fucking Monday. I don't want to be here. It's shitty. You wake up, but the whole time you're thinking about how shitty the day is going to be. I think sometimes that, like, you walk into the situation and you make the day shitty because of how often you're thinking about
that's
it.
That's true.
Like, it could just be a regular day. Yeah, you have already gotten past the fact that you did not want to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I start work at 8 o'clock in the morning now, so I have to wake up at 6.
Yeah.
But you walk in and you're just like, oh, I need my coffee. And, like, all that type of stuff. I'm like that. If you learn to kind of manage your expectations better, that can change things. In terms of, like, relationships, because that's also something that I've been trying to do, I stop myself short from saying certain things because I think I already know what the person's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times I've been pleasantly surprised, and I've had people kind of call me on it, friendships and otherwise, was just like, well, you didn't say anything. I think there was a time that I didn't really talk to you guys about, like, when I was sad and I would just, like, disappear. It's because I automatically assume that I'm going to be a burden on people. And that's just the expectation. Oh, da 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 da. And, like, meanwhile, y'all are like, nigga, the fuck? Like, yeah, just talk to us, you know? So I think a lot of the times when your expectations are set a certain way, they can really fuck up opportunities or just, like, stop you from doing things. And just knowing that a lot of it is in your head beforehand, go into situations not expecting things, and then you will not be disappointed. But it really does, you know, if you're not thinking about how it's going to go and you're just like, whatever happens, happens, it can change things. So that's my self-care tip of the week. Before you walk into things and you're like, this is going to be shitty, or even the opposite, this is going to be fantastic, and then nothing can live up to that.
Yeah. So that's a good self-care tip.
Yeah, you know.
I don't not think of anything. I think of the worst possible thing and the best possible thing, and then try to keep it, like, try to constantly remind myself they could go this way or this could go this way. So, like, if I start dating a new person, I think, like, this nigga could actually fucking kill me.
Yeah.
Or this could be the best thing of my entire life, which is, like, kind of weird, but.
But it's like, you've already. That's good too, though.
Yeah, you're just operating with all possibilities that can ever happen.
Within the realm. You're just like, all right. I didn't die. This person didn't murder me.
I didn't die, so I can still think.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
I'm still sentient.
Still Norse. Out here.
Now let's go on to our current event segment, which is called
Fuck That.
This week we have two stories for you. They are both about dicks, man. Kind of. Our first story is about the man who was hospitalized with a 3-day erection after taking bull sex stimulant. I saw this story in the New York Post, and they made it a point to begin the story with saying that this is not a cock and bull story.
I thought you wrote that.
Oh, you think I'm that corny?
I literally said it out loud to my partner, and he's like, I love her. Like, that he screamed it. He's like, I love her. And I was like, and I went on this rant. I was like,
thing,
fucking
man.
Sam. I was like, Sam is crazy. But this is so you that I mean,
that's why I connected with it. That's why I connected with it.
Oh, man.
There's no point in talking about this right now. But here we are.
Here we are.
You're welcome. Getting into the actual story. That's so funny. I would definitely put that in a fucking sex trivia question or something.
Okay.
This man was in Veracruz, Mexico. I don't know what his age was, but basically he took something that is considered the Viagra for bulls. And when he was asked at the hospital, because, you know, he came in with like a 3-day boner, he said that he planned to have a successful sexual encounter with a 30-year-old girl. And I just like, I'm like, oh, man, that's sad.
It's like, I hear you. You were trying to have a good time.
We can talk more about this later. Other instances of niggas wilding the fuck out. Last year in England, it was reported that a young man had an erection for 1 month after ingesting Viagra, which is like, at what point did he like try to go to the hospital? You
a
know,
month later,
like,
oh,
how
man.
Was he like coordinating his day to day life? Was he doing like the boxer tuck technique? Have you ever heard about that?
I've not.
Where
heard
they like
of
tuck
the...
it up?
Yeah, and their waistband, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like that would be very uncomfortable.
That's what I feel like too. But some people just do it. It feels very chaotic to me. But I don't have a dick, so
I don't
like...
either. But I'm just thinking about like any appendage being like stuck in one spot. Like I wouldn't want my arm curled up forever.
Good point. Okay.
In a belt. You know, and I don't know what it feels like to have a penis, but if it feels like another piece of your body, then why?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Yeah. I cannot speak to this. For folks with penises, how do you keep your dick tucked?
That's a good question.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's just like you don't even, not that you don't care about the discomfort, but you just like go through with the discomfort. Yeah. Like it reminds me of people who actually do tuck for like drag or like because like they're trans women or something like that. And I'm sure that like feels uncomfortable to an extent, but I mean, aren't bras uncomfortable?
Extremely so.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how.
Belts? I fucking hate belts.
I have one on now. But I don't want my ass hanging out. Yeah, I have one.
You can take it off if you want.
My ass was out. And I wear thongs, so my ass is really out.
You do wear thongs.
I do, only. Yeah. Exclusively.
I always thought that was interesting.
And everyone's like, are you always having a wedgie? I'm like, no, it does not feel like a wedgie. You don't even feel it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel it. Well, there you go. That's what it's like when your dick is tucked.
And you know, it's scary because the reason why I wear thongs is not because like, oh yeah, I'm trying to be sexy at all times, because that's fucking weird.
You're not a sex siren?
In case you didn't know. Actually, I am. Why am I denying that? We all know that's what I am. But other than that, when I was younger, my sister just said like I had to wear them. Like, you're gonna wear these. And I was like, okay.
Oh, that's the backstory?
That's the backstory. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, that's weird that I was trained to like wear thongs, but I was literally trained. But I guess it's because like you like seeing a panty line is not cute or whatever, but there's like seamless panties now, there's boy shorts, but now I'm uncomfortable in big underwear, like in regular underwear. But yeah.
Wow. Conditioning. Sorry, guys.
I just, you know what I mean? It was something I found out and I was thinking shower thoughts. And I was like, oh, that was weird.
When those fucking childhood memories come back to you, you're like, wait, what? Okay, I guess I'm traumatized now.
Yeah. Back to the story.
Additionally, in the United States, imagine like your dad gives you fucking Viagra and he's like, you're going to use this
one day.
You're going
to take this. So. Yeah, it's just a part stay of hard,
your
boys.
Fucking multivitamin. In the United States, a 31-year-old man had drunk directly from a bottle of sildenafil citrate, which is the active ingredient in Viagra, and he began to see everything red.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's like wild, man. But why did he do that?
Whoa.
Yeah, more thoughts on this later. So all of this is called priapism, or the prolonged erection of a penis. Many stimulants, including those designed for sexual dysfunction and for attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity, as well as cocaine and ecstasy, are all known to cause priapism. Some antidepressants and blood thinners also contribute to the condition, and prolonged priapism can lead to damaged penile tissue.
Wow.
Yeah. So some thoughts that I have are like, there's this conception. Are you aware of the term henny dick?
Yeah.
Okay. Where it's like, oh, I can be hard forever.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody is different, whether you're getting fucked in your vagina or your ass, but like,
no one wants
really,
forever.
I don't really dig that, man. I don't even dig it for like that long of a time. Like, anybody who I've ever had sex with, I've only had sex with one person who's taken these stimulants or these supplements.
I thought you were just going to stop at one person.
Ever.
That's how I started.
One.
I chuckled.
This whole
a little
podcast
bit.
Has been a lie. There's no hoe at all. It's just fan fiction.
That's it.
I like it because it's like a harder penis for longer, not because it's long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because like a semi, like you could tell when a semi's going on and like that's not as great as super hard.
Yeah. It just like feels better. It feels like it's filling up my vagina more.
It's a good time.
Yeah. So
but like 4 hours, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be that.
And like if you want to engage in sexual activity for 4 hours, I don't want it to only be penetration. Are you
that's
kidding
true.
Me? This is just like excessive. I totally understand like having like erectile dysfunction and things like that, or not being able to get it up or keep it up and taking these. But it seems like when you're like doing it to the extent where you're like, oh, this is like, I'm just going to drink directly from the bottle of this thing or take a bull stimulant. Maybe you didn't have access, though.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, where would they have access to bull stimulants?
Farms.
Not regular. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
He might have been a farmer.
And maybe he just thought, you know, we both got dicks.
I see what it's doing for this nigga over
why
here.
Why not? Why not? You know, I'm starting to kind of sympathize with the man. He just wanted to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think I was talking about that recently with someone who has a penis. Mm-hmm. And it's really disheartening when you're in that situation. And like sometimes you could just get in your own head. And
yeah, and then it's like a spiral.
You know, I get in my head sometimes and she gets dry. So I'm like, you. But then you just squirt some lube on there.
Yeah, there is that fix. There is that fix.
I think that's something that I think about more often now, just how much of a mental battle that is. Because even when you're in it, you know, and you're having a good time, you're like, I can't, they're just, I've had conversations about techniques, think about other things so you don't come. Because if you come fast, like some people don't get back up after a while, some people, and it's just like this pressure. And that sucks.
Yeah, that's just like why this is me just like, I don't feel bad for you niggas. I get it, sure. But like, I think that a part of that pressure is like also rooted in like this penetration centric fucking idea of sex, or like penile penetration centric idea of sex. Because like, after you fucking nut, suck my fucking clit, nigga.
Yeah, like,
I don't understand. Also, I have a plethora of sex toys. Like, there's more.
We can do other things.
There's more insertion. Yeah, I just don't.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, which might also be the contributing factor, because it's like, damn, if I nut, they're going to think that I'm fucking whack or whatever. And then you're just like thinking about it too much. And then.
Then
he gets off.
You're nothing. Damn. Why?
You're dead to me, kid.
Get out.
You'll never work in this town again. And then
imagine
fucking...
someone saying that to someone after having sex. You're done. Never show your face around this town, you hear?
I would love to do that. Just like to see what would happen.
Someone would be so hurt. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, well, that's that story. Now we're going to take a quick break to read a message from our sponsors. Let's face it, we can all step into our bags sometimes. Sometimes we get deep in our bags and can't get out of our bed for days because, yay, depression. And sometimes we're mildly in our bags and we really get concerned about the trajectory of our lives. I've been in both of these bags, and more recently, I have been going through the latter. And something that really helps me along the way is my favorite online service, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not locally be available in many areas. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. I hate waiting rooms. I hate commuting in New York City, and I hate unnecessary interactions with human beings. Luckily, BetterHelp spares me of all three. When I have a scheduled session with my counselor, I find a cozy corner in my home, open up my laptop, and start chatting with her. She's helped me grow a lot over the past few months in regards to my internal dialogue towards myself and others, has helped me work through some traumatic shit, and it is always an air that I can bounce my thoughts and ideas off of. Shout out to you, sis. Without you, this podcast might not be around today. So thank you, BetterHelp, deadass. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. You can visit betterhelp.com/IHU. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Special offer for Inner Hall Uprising listeners, that is 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. Now back to the show. So this story, the second story, I also found in the New York Post purely by coincidence.
Shout
not
out
like
to them.
Yeah. Not fucking stalking their lives online or anything like that.
The only news source.
That is the only thing I've ever read in my entire life. Unfortunately, I've never read a book.
It's just New York Post articles with quips. Again, that's how I developed
my personality. I speak like a New York Post article. How hard. Okay, so this story was written about a book that's been written, and I want to make it clear that I have not read the book. I've only read this article. So the book is by an author named Peggy Orenstein. And it is called Boys and Sex, Young Men on Hookups, Love, Porn, Consent, and Navigating the New Masculinity. So in the past, Peggy's done stories like about the intersection of sex and like women, I guess from like a sociological, anthropological, psychological perspective. And she's like, let me delve into these niggas now. So the book and the article propose interesting findings about young men's relationship to sex, like how they view sex, how they view themselves as sexual beings, da 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 da. So as research, she spoke with hundreds of boys across the United States, ranging in age from their early teens to mid-20s, and spanning all races, socioeconomic backgrounds, religious beliefs, and even sexual orientations. The New York Post said even, and I'm like, why is that even?
And but even.
Yeah. We even talked to gay niggas. Wow. Would you look at
that? Look at us. So progressive. They kind of patted themselves on the back.
They definitely patted themselves on the back. I'm almost certain that they did not speak to people with a... with differing gender identities, though, because it doesn't say that.
Yeah, and so. If they were shocked by sexual orientations,
wait till you spoke to trans niggas. Wow, progressive. B progressive. B E progressive. Sorry,
I did the cheer.
Thank you. Some things just have to like come out.
You have to.
So the article though is about anecdotes from her book and other stats. So this person was a journalist. They pulled in outside sources. So the hypothesis that Peggy had going into writing this book was essentially that young men think with their dicks and are always trying to fuck, which I found particularly disturbing just because, like, one, that's not true. Yeah. And I hate to be one of those niggas, but like in 2019, 2020, why are we not all thinking like that? Sure, but not everybody's thinking like that. Everybody's like in different ways in their journey, but this bitch.
That's your professional sex. Going in.
I was about to say. She writes about sex. So you just like thought niggas were just out here? Like what?
Thinking like a high schooler.
Like what? And like I'm
oh,
sure
you only care about sex.
I'm sure.
Wow.
Sorry. Are you fucking
miss shoulders?
You're like my fifth grade teacher.
And that's what it is. That's what it was. Like, geez.
That's she kind of looks like a fifth grade teacher, honestly. Fifth through like 10th grade.
They all have a look. I can see it.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. But like I'm sure that some of her work was also informed by feminism, albeit white feminism, but like a part of feminism, like, is the fact that these things that are imposed on us, like patriarchy and shit like that, is harmful to men, women, and everyone in between and outside of that. So the fuck, Peggy. But because we got to talk about stuff on this segment, we're going to talk about her book. So the findings was that not true. Men are not all like that.
Yeah.
So here's some little anecdotes from her book and some different studies. So at this current time in our year of the Lord 2020, men are having less sex, or this is my thought, reporting having less sex.
Which is both kind of...
It means something.
Yeah.
It says something about society.
Exactly.
So men between the ages of 18 and 29 are having less sex than ever. The number of abstinent men has nearly tripled in the last decade, from 10% in 2008 to 28% last year.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was like...
Wow.
Yeah, it's
showing. It's definitely showing something different because
while
I don't think, oh man, I'm trying to have sex, mm-hmm. I've definitely heard guys like trump up their numbers because that's what's expected of them.
Exactly.
So the fact that they're even just saying,
honestly,
not,
answering a
going
yeah.
like, nah, I'm not
Could
doing
you imagine
nothing.
If they're lying, like they're having mad sex,
and they're just like, no, like, I never use my dick. Like,
just skew these fucking
that's
survey
like,
findings.
I don't know. It'd be
either
weird,
way,
but yeah,
because there was a time, and I'm sure there is still a time among certain people where it's like, yeah. I'm not going to say I'm not having sex. They're going to think I'm gay.
Yeah.
And we all know it is the worst thing in the world to be gay, unfortunately.
Even sexual orientation.
So here's an anecdote from Peggy's book. She says that men come up, some of the men she spoke to came up with excuses for their lack of sexual interest, like when they're talking to other partners. So one college sophomore said that he frequently faked whiskey dick to avoid hookups.
And I was just about to say this too. Henny dick and whiskey dick.
Yeah. I thought that whiskey dick was the same thing as henny dick. So I'm like, he's saying he's on hard to avoid hookups? I don't get it. And then I looked it up and apparently white people have a totally different perspective.
On hard.
Of-
I'm sorry. On hard.
I'm from New York. Apparently white people have a very different perception of what alcohol does to your penis.
Yeah.
Because how is whiskey dick you can't get it up, but henny dick is you can?
It's funny because I when you said it, I was like, henny and whiskey are the same thing, but they're not. I don't know what henny is. It's brown.
It's cognac.
It's a cognac. Okay. Yeah. But I was like, I knew what Whiskey Dick was. I just automatically separated them, but didn't think about how they could have overlapped. But yeah, that's usually like I there's nothing going on down there. We're
interesting.
Dead.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
but Henny, because I mean that's
alcohol is alcohol though.
Yeah, but there's this weird this thing like, around Henny that people think it's like this sex potion or something. Like, people are dancing it up like. The first time I had Henny, I convinced myself that, like, oh, yeah, this is a different type of alcohol because I fall into every fucking trap. Like, advertisements are made for me because I believe
certain
things.
That's so funny. All right. This next study. In 2018, a Bitdefender study found that 22% of online porn is watched by kids under the age of 10. And according to this hypothesis, it's warping their formative ideas about sex. So, like, just reading that made me uncomfortable because I was like, damn, these kids is watching porn. But then I thought of me as a kid, and I definitely was watching porn.
Yeah, I was watching porn when I was a kid, too.
Yeah.
And like, think about it. As soon as the internet got, like, in schools and popping, we were Googling, like, I was Googling all the pictures. So
titties.
Now if I could just go.
Titties.
Yeah, I remember.
Maybe even boobs, honestly. And fucking Google tried to have its, like, safe search thingy, and I was like, luckily, I know how to turn that off.
Yeah, exactly.
Show me breasts.
And I remember how, like, dangerous I felt or, like, badass I felt when they did, like, 18 years older and I wasn't. And I was like, yeah, I'm clicking it, though.
1981,
yeah,
bitch.
There you go. So, like, it's not surprising, but it's much easier to find now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was going to say kids have phones, but, like, I don't think five-year-olds have phones. Maybe they do.
Oh, I don't know. It could have just been just underneath 10, you know? It could be, like, nine-year-olds.
Yeah.
I get this. Yeah, I get this. I don't know if porn warped my formative ideas about sex,
so.
Though. It reminds me of the video game debate.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to be violent. Yeah.
Obviously, I wouldn't know who I would be if I hadn't watched porn as a kid, mm-hmm. because I am me. But at the same time, I was so fucking stupid about a lot of things in terms of sex and it had nothing to do with porn. It's just like, I kind of knew.
I think with the additional, like, there's like a severe dearth of like sexual education in this country, maybe globally, I don't know. Like, you know, like you play video games and niggas is like fucking robbing people in Grand Theft Auto, but then you walk on the street and you see that that's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, you watch a movie and the Avengers are all flying and then you see real life and that's not happening.
Yeah.
So like, with some sort of grounding, porn can be the fantasy that it is in the same way that other mediums are. So I don't think it's like porn is bad.
Yeah.
But I think like sexual education is bad.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes porn is bad, though. Like, black bitches getting fucked.
Oh, God.
Unless you're a black bitch who wants to get fucked. I don't know. It's very nuanced. Another study in 2016, a study from London-based Middlesex University found that 53% of teen boys believe that sex acts featured in porn are mostly realistic. Okay, so that just
there you go.
Shoots my theory in the foot. One thing that one of Orenstein's, one of the people that she talked to for the book says is that, and I think it's a common trend amongst a lot of the men that she spoke to, was that many think that a sexual partner is just going to fall into their laps like in porn. So from there, it's not happening in real life because that is not how sex actually works. And with the men that she interviewed, the young men that she interviewed, they're like, well, they don't know how to like take things to the next step.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, okay.
I can see that. That I can see happening. It's not like porn is anything other than like, I delivered your pizza. And like, it's crazy because I've never watched a porn like that, but that like,
I definitely have.
Have you?
Yeah. I've watched all kinds of porn. But
I don't know. Maybe I've seen it, but like one of my favorite soft porn, because that's what I watched at first, is Busty Cops. And it was so funny. And Busty Cops too. Great plot. It's honestly a good movie. It's not a good movie. It's terrible.
That's
but
mad funny.
Busty Cops, where it's just like they run in and like they'd solve crimes and they'd fuck the dudes. Like, you know what
man.
I mean? But
yeah,
if you think that that's going to happen, then no.
Yeah, you're in for a rude awakening,
and
buddy.
And it's never anything. It's just like, I'm going to take you on a date, and then I'm going to develop trust and have a conversation, and then we're going to figure this out. And then, do you want to have sex? Okay, great. It doesn't do that. So,
And like, if your fucking parents aren't talking to you about that, and all of your peers are just like lying or fucking, I don't know, sexually assaulting people, which I'm sure a lot of them are, probably from the same quote-unquote formative ideas that they're developing from porn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't know. You don't want to be knowing unless you listen to the Inner Hoe Uprising podcast or other good sex education is a really good show.
Yeah, I just heard that season 2 came out.
Yeah, I was watching it before you got here. It's good so far. Another quote from Orenstein's book: everyone watches porn. This is from one of the men that she interviewed. Everyone watches porn and then gets super nervous about their penis size. This is a college sophomore from Chicago. He says, I mean, it's brutal. Like, if you're in the locker room, you're going to turn around and try to hide yourself, or you're not going to change in front of other guys. Wow. And that leads into this, like, oh, you know, everybody in porn has this 8 and up inch penis. I don't have that. Maybe I should just, like, not be having sex because my partner is going to laugh at me or something like that.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. But, not everyone has an 8-inch penis.
Not even most close. People. Not even
most
close.
Most people don't. Yeah, I'm sick of that. And then there's also, like, guys who, like, say that
they have it.
Yeah,
and then don't.
Yeah.
What?
Niggas think their dicks are bigger than their dicks actually are. It's, I'm like, have you ever
angles.
Taken a ruler
yeah,
to that thing? Because I'm a pretty good measure of judgment of measure, and that is not 8 inches, nigga.
Why lie if I'm gonna see it?
I don't know if they.
They're like, I'm a grower. I'm like,
I don't right. know.
Grow then.
I don't know. Show me.
Show me.
Grow your penis challenge. Hashtag grow your penis. But there's nothing wrong with not having an 8-inch dick.
Exactly. There's really
as
nothing.
We discussed prior, there's a lot
there's
that goes into sexual.
There's other supplements that work.
Yeah, there's other things
not
that go into sexual.
Actually, sexual pleasure. Please don't take it. Any supplements if you don't need them.
You got to take that fucking bull stimulant. another thing that I found troubling that came up in this study and the article was that young men's consent is being violated. What do you know? So starting this off, a quote from Orenstein was added to this segment, and she says that she's surprised to hear about how many stories of young men were forced or coerced into sex by young women. It's fucking disturbing for this bitch because, like, he wrote a book
this
and just, like,
thing.
That is just, like, access and privilege and power, like, being a fucking white person and, like, getting to the point where you've published and authored 4 fucking books. But also, like, it does speak to, like, the societal belief because some of the guys in these anecdotes that we're going to talk about were, like, scared to say things because they thought that it would be gay to say that they were fucking raped by a woman. So,
terrible.
Or by a man, to be honest. But that's not discussed in this article or in this book. I don't know. I didn't read the book. But here's an anecdote from Dylan. Quick content warning for a story regarding sexual assault. You can check the show notes to where you should skip to not hear this. So here's a quick anecdote from Dylan. He says he had too much to drink at a friend's party and was passed out on the couch. That's where his friend Julia, who was sober, found him. She dragged Dylan stumbling into the bathroom and had sex with him on the floor. The next morning, Dylan was horrified and asked Julia why she forced herself on him. He said, I didn't want to do that. He told her, insisting that he wanted his first time to be special. She said, oh, please, don't give me that. All guys want it.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was sick.
Yeah.
I don't like, well, obviously I don't like that, but that was really.
This is why, like, this idea that, like, men are just like, sex, 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 sex,
yeah.
sex, and women are like, the receivers of that
yeah.
is harmful to everybody.
Like, we say a lot of things on the show. We don't like men here. I mean, we fuck with them and we do what we gotta do. But I'm just kidding. I don't know. But, like, none of this is ever, like, I don't assume every man wants to have sex all the time. It's just like,
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, they're human too.
Yeah, yeah. Niggas
you know,
do
and just like, I don't.
Yeah, that was super disturbing.
Fuck you, Julia.
Yeah, what the fuck is your problem,
yeah.
sis? Another study, according to a 2017 study at Columbia University, 80% of victims of sexual assault were women. Men were also being increasingly targeted, with 1 in 8 male students reported being coerced into non-consensual sex. And
wow.
I thought, is this increasing or is this just being reported more?
Oof. Tough both ways.
Yeah, I don't know. And last but not least, a 2017 study at New York University, sociologist Jesse Ford interviewed 40 straight male and female college students about their sexual experiences. Most men admitted that they would have sex even if they didn't want to, because guys should always be quote unquote down to fuck. Rejecting an invitation to sex was considered unmanly or gay.
This I've heard about firsthand from people,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, you say no and it becomes like a conversation that's kind that can be aggressive, where it's just like, well, what's wrong with you? Or like, what's like, what? And I've, and you know, you think about it and you're like, if it was the other way around, or if it's the same way around, it doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. But I do it from my own perspective. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, cause I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's this weird, it's definitely a stigma where it's just like, why? Like, why don't you want to fuck?
Because yeah, yeah.
It shouldn't you want to?
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
It's really sad. My hope and something that I see trending towards positivity is like the fact that people are even reporting that in the first place. The fact that people spoke to her about this book, even though this book is like severely lacking in, I haven't read it, but just in regards to her personal like knowledge about sex and sexuality, I think it's severely lacking, but I'm glad that it was written so that somebody fucking else reads it and like maybe like a health teacher implements that into their sex education class or something like that. Or maybe somebody like scrolls past an article and the next time like they're drunk and you know, being propositioned for sex, they don't feel like, oh, I should just do this so that this girl doesn't fucking tell all my friends and then all my friends think that I'm gay. In that though, you motherfuckers really need to work on your homophobia.
For real.
What
for real.
Is the big deal? Like, what is going on?
Why is it like every time it's the worst possibility?
I don't get it.
I'm gay.
I don't get it.
It's very strange.
Like, I do get it because, yes, like, gay folks are stigmatized, but, like, it really be like the fucking people who are like, yeah, I'm woke.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just,
but
like,
no, that's gay. And it's like, so?
What is the problem? Yeah. What is the problem? Like, the fact that I don't want to talk about this too much because I don't really like talking about things that everybody else is talking about on this podcast. But, like, with the Aaron Hernandez documentary, like, there was so many other things that were addressed. Like, it was, like, his sexuality, his upbringing, abuse, CTE. To me, it was just like, this nigga's, like, a wild nigga. But like all of these things are just like being addressed, but like the main, like the one of the like loudest voices is just like, this nigga was gay. So the fuck what? And then that like talks to the point of, you know, like, I don't know if this is true or not, or if like the person interviewed in the documentary who said that he had a relationship was whether or not that was valid. I don't, there's no way to prove it because this nigga is not alive anymore. But the fact that everyone is harping on this so hard is a testament to the fact that, yeah, maybe somebody would want to hide their sexuality.
Maybe that's why,
because you niggas are not as fucking woke as you say you are.
Yeah.
So work on that. Like, please try.
As a society,
just do better, son. What the fuck? What is the problem? I don't get it. I don't get it. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. Now let's go on to our next segment, which is called
Fuck Me,
the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
So I started with, I'm not the lame one anymore. Why did I say that? Because
I don't think you were ever lame.
I felt like I was the lame one because everyone had these fun stories.
Akua has not had sex in like 2 years.
But Akua has Dave, and she can have fun in her life because he's fun, and that's what happens. It's just an automatic ball of fun. Now,
that's mad funny
to me. You know, I was in a relationship for a really long time, and then when I got out of it, it was like, oh, I'm sad and shit. But I always felt like, oh man, I'm on this show about sex, love, and dating, and I'm living such a vanilla life, you know. But
okay. I mean, it's not about kink, love, and dating,
it's true, but that has changed, y'all, and that's why I'm excited.
Okay,
I'm out here, out here.
Let's hear about it.
So I don't know if I'm gonna start. Fine. I went to a sex party, y'all.
Nice.
It was a good time.
When did you do this?
I went to a sex party in December.
Mm-hmm.
I am currently dating someone. It's my partner. He's a good guy. But we were like, before we got together, we were just like, oh, you know, one thing that I've always wanted to do, a sex party. And then I got
it. Did he just bring that up on his own accord? Or you bought
that? No. We were just chatting about it. Like, before we even, like, started dating.
Look at you guys.
Yeah. And then I got an invite. And we were just, like, walking down the street or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, like, you want to go to a sex party? And he was like, yeah, man. And it was really just normal. We said yes. We got added to a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to people, set up pretty nice, where it was just like, meet the couples and, you know, having a conversation. And that was cool.
A couples only sex party?
No, there were singles, the people there too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was majority couples. I would say like the probably like six couples and two single women and one single guy. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of what it was. Group chat was cool, trying to like talk to people, but we were out eating and we were like, we should just talk about our boundaries. So we sat there and we were talking about that. We had decided that we were just kind of like down for whatever. So nice. We're like, and then we were like, okay,
boundaries,
so,
are there are no boundaries.
Yeah. Like, is there anything that you don't want to do? Nah. Is there anything to me? But we said, because it was like our first time, we didn't know what the boundary would be. We'd probably be like having to learn as we go. Mm-hmm. So we were like, we should come up with an inconspicuous signal. And it was literally it was really like the okay sign really big over your eye. And it was on purpose. It's supposed to be as obnoxious as possible.
That's mad funny.
So it's just like the signal that you're good, or like just like talk about it throughout the night.
Okay.
And we were super hyped because they had actually like talk to us knowing that it was our first time, and they were just like, oh, you guys should talk about your boundaries. Like, we did that already. We were like super hype. Yeah. Nice. And then when we got there, you know, I was nervous, just because it was just like, it's a fun idea until you're actually thinking about it. I was nervous because I was like, it's just so many things. I've never had sex with another, like more than just one person. Mm-hmm. I've never been in a relationship where non-monogamy was a thing or mm-hmm. anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was all the things. And then just like, you know, what if no one wants to do anything with me? Do I have to have sex with someone? All valid fears. Uh-huh. Went into it and it was so chill. Like, it was it was like a house party, obviously. Not obviously, there's like clubs and stuff, but mm-hmm. this was a house party. The food, chips, conversation. Nice. I forgot many times that that's what we were here for. We had made they said to bring a bottle BYOB, but we brought edibles. So we brought edibles for everybody.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah,
guys.
We baked them and everyone
that's
was
really
like,
sweet.
Yeah.
You were the popular ones at the party.
It was we went there and good vibes from everyone. Everyone was like dressed up in the holiday stuff. So that was cute too.
Mm, it was like a Christmas theme thing.
Yeah. And then after about halfway into it, they were like, oh, okay, let's talk. So they all had a conversation where we introduced ourselves, who our partner was there, mm-hmm. any boundaries, any hard no's, like just had an open conversation, what they're into, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like, I mean, people started having sex, like not in the middle, but we're still talking. But then you start seeing like people kind of go off and, you know, have a good time. I'm still so fucking awkward, y'all. I swear to God, I don't know how the fuck I'm getting into these situations, but I'm there and it's like, people are having sex in here. I don't know how I'm an adult. I don't know how I'm having sex. It's so strange because I'm so fucking weird. Like, so like, I sometimes I can't say the word sex. It's very odd. Like, I'm just, I'm like,
sometimes I say L-sexo.
El sexo, I cannot. Fuck,
you gotta make it Spanish when you can. You can't deal.
But at the sex party, we did a full swap with a couple. We were in a room together. That was cool.
Nice.
It was nice. I managed.
Were these people black?
Yes.
All
oh
of
yeah,
them?
Yeah. Everyone
okay,
was black.
Cool. Cool.
Everyone.
Cool.
That's also what was great. There was one. No, there
so
was
the chicken was seasoned.
Yes. Full swap with a couple. That was cool. I was worried about jealousy. I wasn't jealous. He wasn't jealous either.
Did it turn you on to see him having sex?
Yeah.
Nice.
That turned me on.
It's life.
Yeah. It was like, ooh, you know, this is a good time. And ooh, at one point in time, I was like, I'm so happy we're doing this together because it was just
aww.
Great. Then we stopped with them, went to another room, and we were just like chilling there. And there was a girl that I was looking at. Oh, I ate pussy for the first time,
yay.
Y'all. I'm definitely gay. I enjoyed it very much. And that's when I was like, wait a minute. You know, I guess being like pan, sometimes you're like, if you haven't done anything with anybody other than cis men, you're mm-hmm. like, society kind of makes
really
you
pansexual, yeah.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. so I just say, oh, you're just like thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, man, I feel like I'm very attracted to everyone, but mm-hmm. I don't know mm-hmm. until you're into it. And then, no, definitely.
Good for you.
Defo.
Good for you.
Into some puss. Yeah, but it was a good time.
Quite and, literally into some puss.
Literally. And we went to the living room, and there was a girl that I was attracted to. And I was talking to her or whatever, and she was like, well, I have to go because she's going to work. But she's like, you guys
going to work right after this.
Right afterwards. It's fucking hilarious.
What time of day was this?
At that point, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah. And then she was But she was like, you guys can put on a show for me if you want. I was like, oh, word.
Okay.
I was into it. So we fucked in front of another person. And nice. She was just there. And she was like, you know, oh, y'all are sexy or whatever. And like, I was mad hype. I was like, oh, we are? Okay. You know, it was. Okay. And then we made out. So that was cool. Mm-hmm. But we didn't get to have sex. We exchanged information.
Nice.
And then, you know, everyone fell asleep. So we just kept fucking in the living room. No one was there. We're like, oh, shit. You want to fuck?
Because look at you guys. Were you the youngest ones there?
No, that was cool too. Oh, okay. Two of the hosts, definitely 80% older people.
Okay. I was like, that's why everybody fell asleep.
Yeah.
These niggas are in their
40s. These niggas have children. They were one couple was talking about their kids. And I was like, that's so sweet. But I was like, I can't, you know, yeah.
Can't really.
And they apologized. And I was like, don't apologize.
You're talking about their kids?
Yeah. Because they're like, I'm sorry. We're the old guys talking about our children. But I was like, it's your life. It's your life. But one of the hosts, the people that we did the swap with, they're the same age as us. So 26.
Nice.
So that was nice. Made me think I could probably throw one of them, but it'd be... I want to invite my friends, and I don't want to see my friends have sex, so I don't know.
Damn, son. Rebecca doesn't want to see me get this busted wide the fuck open. It's a sight to see.
I'm sure it is. I'll take your word for it.
I don't want to see you niggas having sex either. Okay.
Okay.
So I'll have my own party, and you have your own party, and we'll see who comes to which one.
We do not have to overlap at all. You're right. But yeah, that was something fun, and I was like, I can't wait to talk about this on the show because,
yeah,
if you guys have questions about sex parties, like,
you're the connoisseur now.
I'm an expert at this point.
Like, what does this mean for your relationship? I know you guys were monogamous.
Yeah, yeah. We've been talking
swingers
about that
now.
I guess in theory, during our monthly meeting because we have monthly meetings. Our most recent one was the 15th.
I was like,
is that something that you see us doing again? And he was like, I'm open to it. It's just kind of like a play by ear because it's not something we're like actively looking. We thought about going into the communities, but I don't think it's something that we're going
to
do now.
So just like you would go to a normal party. Like, yes. Oh, you want to go to this party? Oh, yeah, you want to go to this party? Yeah. It's just like all kinds of parties.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
It was a fun time.
Aw. Yeah. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thanks. But.
Yeah, there's this other thing.
So the other thing, y'all, and this is because I don't even know why I'm sharing this, but I have to.
I'm amused
as well. I'm sharing this and my partner does not know what happened and you will understand why we have not had this conversation. But yes, so I'm going to share a story with you guys. And this is because we're on the show and we're in it together and shit happens, literally.
I've talked about fucking inner fluids before. I threw up on two penises.
You did. And so this is what makes me feel like I can share. So I got a new job and yay. So when I got a new job, my partner just said, hey, let me take you out so we can celebrate. So we go out. Me and him are done. We go to a bar. It's a great time. My stomach was bothering me throughout the day. It's hard for me to poop in public because I always feel like somebody's outside the door waiting.
Then someone
walks in afterwards. I always think they're gonna be like, oh bitch, you shit it up this place.
And they will do that. That happened to me in college.
And it's mortifying.
She said it smells like somebody died in here.
Oh, fuck.
I was on my period. It was a period shit.
Yeah, and those are real as fuck. So damn, it's true. Yeah. But so stomach's bothering me. We're having beer. Not the best thing to have when your stomach is yeast and all that stuff. Eating food, having a bang up time. We're walking around and we end up at the start of this bridge. I think it's the Williamsburg Bridge. You know, it's about a 30-minute walk. But I think bridges have elevation points and they go up and down. So like my stomach was going up and down. We literally step off the bridge and to level ground. And you can kind of feel how level the ground is. I'm like, great, we're on regular ground now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, my stomach really hurts, like more than it ever has, ever. And I was like, oh, I think I need to find a place to use the bathroom. And I'm thinking, oh, and he's like, do you have to pee? I was like, yeah. And then he's like, do you have to poo? And then, like, I'm looking at him in his eyes. and literally whisper, I think I just did. And he was like, excuse me. And then I start running down the street. I run down the street. And he's like going
sorry,
to...
is this a fucking romantic comedy script?
That's what it is, though.
Is this Bridesmaids?
It's so bad. I don't know why I'm describing, but this is how I remember it. I start running down the street and he's like trying to follow me. I said, do not follow. I'm screaming. I'm like, do not follow me. And he was like, are you serious right now? And I was like, still running.
How much poop was it?
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. That means it was a lot. Damn, son. It happens. I've shit on myself like 3 times.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow, that makes me feel so good.
And one or two of those times was in front of my ex-boyfriend. So.
What?
Yeah, shit on Hakeem's chair.
Well, that makes me feel really good. I'm not going to lie. I was, it was a lot. That's now I can, it was crazy.
It happens. Shit happens.
Literally.
That may be the name of this episode.
I Googled afterwards how often this happens to other people because then I called him and I was like, hey, he was like, where are you? I was like, what do you mean? Like totally trying to play it off. But he's like, your voice gets very high when you're uncomfortable or when you're lying. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's just like, I see you later? I was like, yep, I'll be at your house. I went home.
Oh, you just went home.
Fuck yeah, I went home.
I thought you were going to find a bathroom. Oh, but you couldn't have it anymore. It was all done. Damn, son, what were you wearing?
I was wearing.
Did you throw the clothes out?
All gone. All gone. I was wearing black pants, knee-high boots. The boots are gone too.
Boots
are gone too. A yellow sweater, a white shirt, and a long trench coat. Trench coat and yellow sweater were fine. That was a date that I will never forget. Is it?
No, it's not. Very sorry.
But I just like
I
was like, yo, this is the worst thing. Like this is it.
No, there's you could have been in a car together.
True.
Could have been his car. You could have shit his car up.
True.
That's fucked up.
True. There's a lot of things that could have happened.
Just gotta hope it doesn't happen again, man.
Shit emojis on your socks.
Oh yeah, I'm wearing doo-doo emojis.
When I say that this is so
when did you
fitting,
see that?
I looked down and I was like, and then I am wearing and I'm staring
poop socks,
at
yeah.
Yeah.
I bought these with Rob on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, so there's
look at the universe.
It's just wilding out right now. Just wilding. But yeah, that was a date that happened.
Thank you for sharing both of those
course.
Things. Those were both very great anecdotes. I'm so glad that you were transparent enough to share those with me and
everyone.
Yeah, all thousands of people who are
and
gonna listen
to
this episode.
And for the longevity of the internet, yeah, and how long it exists.
Forever. Infinitum, yeah. I'm very briefly going to go into my fuck me. I'm doing the Samantha Got Her Groove Back challenge. It is a challenge in which I go on one date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you all cute dates. This season, you give me cute dates.
Yay.
You control where I go on these dates. We can get my groove back together. Before I talk about this past week's date, I do want to say that I got a suggestion from @currychickenbaby on Instagram, and their cute date idea is to go to a bachata or salsa lesson.
Oh.
Usually instructors have you switch partners, so it's like speed dating plus dancing and Latin music. Bachata is a lot easier than salsa and much more sensual too. Do it with a friend or a lover. Are you a copywriter?
This is awesome.
Learn to lead or just chill out and follow.
This is so well written. I didn't even realize that when I first read this.
I love it. I go once a week, sometimes twice a week. Much love. You're awesome.
Thanks.
That
was awesome.
I love that. Yeah. I have done salsa lessons before. It was really cool. I hated the part where we had to switch partners. I'm like, I don't like these people. Some of these people's breath stink.
Oh, no. They were probably burnt flossing.
That is probably the thought that I had in my mind. Plus, it's just awkward or whatever because you're like in like before you do the full like step, they'll make you repeat a step over and over again. And you're just like staring into this person's face. Yeah. But the class itself is fun. I think my take on this, because I am going to do it, I think my take on this is going to just to go to a salsa club or a Latinx club with one of these here Latinx niggas. Sorry. Plethora of dates to go on. So, yeah, I will do something along the lines of this and report back to you. Thank you, Curry Chicken Baby. Last week's date, I went to see Numa Perrier's film Jezebel. So Jezebel, it was like a screening, and there was a talk back with the director, Numa, and the lead actress. So Jezebel is a film that I wanted to see at South by Southwest, but South by Southwest is a scam, so I didn't get to see it. But it's about a young Black girl, like the age of 19, who loses her mother and has to go into, you know, some survival sex work. Like, yeah. She just needs some dough. I really liked it for many reasons. First of all, like, I just think that's a cool story to be told. It's also Numa's story. This is like literally about her life.
Okay.
She is the main character, but she plays her sister in the film, which is also cool. Wow. She plays her sister. But like, one, it takes place in the early 90s. So like, there's a whole bunch of things about camming that I didn't know. And I just like trivia and history and sex. So I'm just like, oh shit. Like, there used to be like little fucking tiny video cameras on top of TVs, and you would chat with the men, but you couldn't actually say anything because there was no audio connection stuff like that. So it was like a cool little blast from the past. That was nice. And then also another one of the things I liked about the film was just like, it's very much a story about a young woman coming into her own. And this is one of the ways that she's coming into her own, both financially and sexually, and just like in the workforce, because you have to advocate for yourself in the workforce. So it's cool to see that, like, to see that narrative, I guess, normalized, because when people talk about sex work and think about sex work, it's just like, how did we get here? This young girl is a stray or whatever. But it's not about like that.
Work.
Actual work. And like, there's no fucking shame in it. Like, she gets into sex work because her sister is a sex worker. Like, her sister is a phone sex operator, and they live in Nevada, so I guess that's kind of like a hot spot for maybe this kind of activity. I think it's Vegas specifically, but I know it's Nevada. And her sister is like she's living with her sister, and there's mad other people who are living in that apartment, and her sister's like, yo, you need to get a job, son. And like, the first ad that she gives her is this advertisement that they're looking for cam girls. And I'm just like when we did the back talk, some people were like, and I think the guy that I was also on the date with, like, people were like, oh, at first, like, it felt like she was pimping out her sister, which is, like, not what pimping is or whatever. But it's nice to see that as the film progressed, like, that is not what he thought about it anymore.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
perspective.
Exactly. Like, it's just labor.
Yeah.
Like, it's not pimping. Also, she wasn't taking her money, so it's, like, literally not the definition of pimping.
So she was just like, get a job here.
Here's a job. Here's a job that pays well. It was, like, $15 an hour at the time, which is, like, this is, like, 30 years ago.
Yeah, so that's mad money.
Yeah, that was, like, a nice
minimum
penny.
Wage now.
Exactly. Yeah, and during the back talk, it was, like, nice to have, like, Numa talk about her life, and the lead actress, I think her name is Tiffany Tennille, who, like, even, she was like, she had conceptions about sex work. And then after talking with Numa and like reading through the script, like, it changed how she thought about sex work and camming and things like that. Also, like, nudity obviously is a thing in regards to cam work. I thought that the film handled nudity in a very tasteful way.
Okay.
Not that it has to be tasteful, but I think like it towed the line between like sensuality and still like not just like, oh, we're gonna exploit some Black women on screen.
Oh, that's great. I think I really want to see this now.
It's on Netflix.
What?
2 days after I saw this, it premiered on Netflix, so very proud of this film.
I'm definitely gonna check that out.
It's distributed by Array, which is Ava DuVernay's production company. And and it was cool in regards to the date itself. I was just gonna go to this because I was like, let me just find something to do. And I wanted to see this since fucking March. Fuck South by Southwest forever. And yeah, this guy was like, when am I going to see you next? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. And I was like, oh, I'm going to this. You want to come? And he was like, yeah, sure. And he's also a filmmaker. I say also. I used to make films, guys. I don't do that anymore.
You are a filmmaker.
Thank you. That's why I say also. But yeah, it was cool to watch a film with a filmmaker and to like talk about it afterwards. And then afterwards we got dumplings, which I also love. So that was a nice time.
Dumplings are the best. Would you go on a date with him again?
This is my second date with him, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Would you go on a date with him again? I didn't fucking answer the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would go on a date with him again. I don't love the kid.
Okay.
I think something that I'm stepping into, and he's a very nice guy. He's funny. He's a filmmaker. He's cool. All good things. This is no shade. I always just put this out here because, like, I used to fuck with people who would then listen to this podcast and get a whole lot of shit.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like, I don't even talk about the fact that this exists anymore.
Okay.
And, like, it's hard because, like, my job is also producing podcasts. And they're like, what podcast do you do? And I just, like, don't fucking say anything about this. But, so yeah, disclaimer, I don't hate you. You're very nice. But like for me talking to like my audience and you as my friend, something that I'm going through is like, I used to like only want to go out with people who I was like, absolutely like, yo, I really fucking like this person. Now I'm trying to get past that for the sake of having new experiences and making more connections with more people. Otherwise, I would never do anything.
Oh, that's great.
Anywhere with anyone.
Yeah.
So while I'm not like jazzed, it's very like, it's a lot to get me jazzed. Not that it's a lot, but it's rare that I get jazzed.
Yes.
And yes. It's rare that I get jazzed about anything. About anything. I could be on the best vacation in the world and just be sitting there like, this is very nice.
Yes.
This is quite pleasant.
It took me a very long time to realize that about you because I was
everybody
like,
thinks I hate them.
I swear to God, I was about to say, do you hate me? And I know you don't. And it's just like, but I realized that that's just your personality.
Yeah.
It's and you just, will say like, this is a, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, and I have a good time with this person, but I'm not like,
am I jazz? Yeah.
But I, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I would go on a date again. It just makes me feel like a bad person.
No. Okay. Everyone's different, man. I'm learning. Like, you can't. How does that make you bad? You're fine.
It's like this whole, like, stoic demeanor thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was talking to this boy about this recently. Like, I don't like dogs.
That doesn't make me sad.
And just, like, all of these things that are just, like, very, like, dark and calm about me that I just feel like I'm giving off this perception that I'm just like a garbage human who hates everybody.
Are you
and while
not?
I do hate everybody and I am a garbage human, I'm not mean.
Yeah, no.
I think I'm very nice.
That's
but
very
just like,
funny because everything that you're saying is absolutely correct. You're not mean. There's never been a time that it's just like, never.
I'd be fucking lashing out on niggas.
Yeah. You but... I still remember that time that like we were at Rob's house and you were like bus drivers can be creepy and why do they hit on people and the person was like maybe you shouldn't smile. You're like, I don't smile ever. And I just started cracking up. It's like my favorite quote because I'm just like, joke's on you, you're talking to the wrong fucking person. And I backed you up so quickly. I was like, no, that is, I promise you of all things, that is not what happened. That is not the reason why he is talking to Sam. And it was great
it's so true.
You're not mean. It's like, it's not like you're gonna be like, fuck you, driver. It's just like, please leave me alone because I don't care. That's it. Which is valid.
It would just be very curt and very to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for validating.
I have to because
person.
You're not.
Oh boy. All right.
And I'm dating somebody who's exactly like that. So
shout out to that
nigga son. Yeah. It's just like, I'm like, are you okay? And I'm good. Like,
I did think that he hated me.
And that's the thing. He's very just like, if people walk up to him and he doesn't want to have that conversation, he's just like, do I know you? Or just kind of like, why are we doing this? And he'll say it and I'm like, I don't even know how you're fucking doing that. He was just like, but I don't want to have the conversation. So I just say, hey, I don't want to have this conversation right now. And people
that
think
I fucking
asshole.
Respect. That kind of makes me wish that I was a man because I would be so much more balls to the walls with this shit because I do like play with people just for the sake of like cordialness. But
it's tough.
Please
what?
Leave me the fuck alone. All right, let's wrap this show up.
All right,
so,
y'all.
Yes, usually we would have our fuck you segment. However, we only have one story in our docket, and that story is specifically about friendship trials and tribulations while being a parent. And Aku is the only person on the show who is a parent. So we think it's fitting to have her on the show when we read that episode that'll probably be next week. But if you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ihewpodcast@gmail.com and include your pronouns, also because we are in the future. You can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it and respond to it on the show. So you can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. Sometimes on the show, in lieu of fuck you, we will also do politics, the mini segment where I run down a 2020 presidential candidate's platform as it pertains to sex, gender, sexuality, reproductive rights, and race. This will include candidates who have dropped out because those people might be on a VP ticket. And when we return with politics in a couple of weeks, our segment will be on Elizabeth Warren.
Woo.
Elizabeth Warren was selected as the next candidate to cover in politics in our Patreon poll. She won with an overwhelming majority. I think second was Bernie Sanders, so we'll probably do that after. And then there was Andrew Yang and Amy Klobuchar. So look forward to that in the coming weeks. And that's it for InoHo Uprising this week.
Yay! And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following InoHo Uprising without the G on Twitter, InoHo Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and go to InoHoUprising.com to pay a ho or to check out merchandise. And if you want to follow me specifically, you can follow me at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram, and on Twitter, you can follow me at Exist and Crisis.
When did that happen?
I changed it and I was like, this sounds like existential crisis.
That's
I'm going to put that.
Very
so,
funny.
Yes, it is both.
Good job.
I have to be consistent with my brand, y'all.
We like the
I'm
puns.
Sad.
We like the sad puns. I am Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego on Instagram for travel and food photos. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.